this message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. On October 29th, the last Sunday of this month, we will celebrate the Reformation, an event that occurred in Europe almost 500 years ago when God used a man named Martin Luther to proclaim the truth of God's Word in a world where many had been misled by error. Now, one of Martin Luther's famous slogans was, "We are justified by faith alone." Martin Luther based that slogan on Romans 3:28, which we heard moments ago. Paul writes, "A man is justified by faith apart from observing the law." Now, what Paul is saying is that forgiveness of sin has nothing to do with our efforts at trying to be worthy of God's mercy by obeying His laws. Instead, Paul is saying that we receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life with God because of Jesus and His death and resurrection for us. So when Luther said, "We are justified by faith alone," he meant that true Christians do not trust in their own good works to make them worthy of God's mercy. Instead, true Christians trust in Christ alone for mercy and life with God. However, there were many leaders in the church of Luther's day who refused to believe this. Now, of course, they did not want to openly reject the Bible, so they simply twisted the meaning of certain Bible passages and made them sound as though God required us to earn His mercy by doing good works. For example, a favorite passage that Luther's adversaries would often quote to him was James 2, verse 24, which we heard earlier. It reads, "A person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone." They would quote that and then they would say, "See, Luther, faith in Jesus alone is not enough. We have to do something to be worthy of salvation." "Oh, certainly, Luther, Jesus died for our sins and He conquered death for us, yes, but we have to be worthy of receiving that salvation, and we make ourselves worthy by doing good works." So, who's right? Luther or his adversaries? I mean, they both used Scripture to prove their points, didn't they? But does that mean that Holy Scripture is opposed to itself? Does that mean that the Apostle Paul is saying that we're justified by Christ alone as an undeserved gift, whereas the Apostle James is teaching that we must do something to be worthy of being justified before God? This cannot be. You see, God is speaking to both Paul and James, and God does not contradict Himself. Well, the fact is, both Paul and James actually agree with each other. Both Paul and James believe that forgiveness of sin and eternal life with God are undeserved gifts made possible by Jesus and His work for us. However, if you read the book of Romans and the book of James carefully, it becomes clear that Paul and James are answering two different questions. Simply put, Paul is answering this question: how is it possible for sinners to be saved? How is it possible for sinners to be saved? And Paul gives this answer: Christ does it all for us. Christ does it all for us. And James would agree. However, James in his letter is actually dealing with a different question. James is asking, once sinners have been saved, how do they act? In other words, what is the evidence that a person has true faith? And James gives this answer. Faith works. Faith does what God wants it to do. Faith confesses sin on a daily basis. Faith trusts in Jesus alone for salvation. And faith strives to do the will of God. For instance, listen to this passage from James chapter 1, which we heard last Sunday. James 1 verse 22 reads, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Now, last Sunday I explained that God wants us to be hearers and doers. So if we merely hear God's word, but we don't believe it and we don't act on it, then we do not have true faith at all. Simply put, my friends, faith is not simply knowledge of facts that have no impact in our life. For instance, a person can say, 2 plus 2 equals 4. That's true. George Washington was our first president. That's true. And water has 2 hydrogen atoms and 1 oxygen atom. That's true. A person can accept those facts as being true without those facts having any effect whatsoever on the way they live their lives. In the same way, a person can say, Jesus is the Son of God. That's true. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That's true. And Jesus conquered death. That's true. A person can acknowledge that such things are true and yet fail to actually trust in Jesus and fail to live according to His will. That's why James writes these words. You believe there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You see, faith is more than knowledge of facts about Jesus. True faith means that you confess your sin and you trust in Jesus alone for salvation, and by the grace of God, you strive to resist your sinful nature and live according to His will. With that understood, James is not saying that we have to do something to be worthy of receiving God's forgiveness. Instead, James is saying that faith works. In other words, once you have been saved, it will change the way you live. James is saying that true faith will result in confession of sin, trust in Jesus alone for salvation, and a desire to do the will of God. In contrast, if people claim to have faith in Jesus, but they refuse to admit that they have any sins to confess, they refuse to trust in Jesus alone for salvation, but instead believe that they somehow can be worthy of it, and if they refuse to obey the will of God, but instead want to do their own thing, well then, as much as they talk about having faith in Jesus, the fact is they don't have true faith at all. That's why James writes these words. Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Our Lord Jesus Himself makes the same point in our gospel reading. Jesus says that good trees will produce good fruit. Now, the good trees stand for true believers, and the good fruit that they produce is conviction over sin, trust in Jesus alone for salvation, and a desire to live according to God's will. That's good fruit. On the other hand, the bad trees are false believers who claim to trust in Jesus but only produce bad fruit. Now, one of the examples of bad fruit that Jesus points out is that these people are trusting in their own good works as the reason that God should welcome them into His kingdom. Did you hear our gospel reading? These people actually did good things outwardly, but they were boasting before God and trusting in those works as the reason God should save them. And Jesus says this is bad fruit. Jesus says that such self-righteous people will not be saved, even though they claim to have faith in Jesus. And so James wants us to understand that true faith works. In other words, true faith is known by how it responds to God's Word. Now, James points us to an Old Testament believer named Abraham as an example of how faith works. And what's really interesting is that James quotes the exact same text from Genesis that Paul uses later on in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 4. If you go home today and read Romans chapter 4, you will find out that Paul uses the exact same text that James uses in our reading for today. Genesis 15:6 reads, Abraham believed the Lord, and God credited it to him as righteousness. Simply put, Abraham trusted in God's promise of salvation. You see, God had promised Abraham that the Savior of the entire world would be a descendant of his son, Isaac. But if you recall your Sunday school lessons, you will remember that at one point in Abraham's life, God tells Abraham to go up on a mountain and sacrifice his son. When God told Abraham to do this, Abraham obeyed, because he believed that God would still be faithful to his word, even if that meant that God had to bring Isaac back from the dead. Now, as you know, God did not allow Abraham to sacrifice Isaac in the end. But the point is that Abraham was willing to obey because he believed God's promise. The fact is, God used this event with Abraham and Isaac to show us what God himself would do to save us sinners from the damnation we deserve. Because as you know, God did sacrifice his only son so that we could be justified. Now, if you're thinking like I'm thinking, you might ask yourself, but how is it possible for me to have that kind of living faith? The answer is simple. God's Word. Abraham was no one special. He struggled with sin just like you and me. In fact, he had been raised as an unbeliever. He was an unbeliever in his early adult years. The reason he had faith is that God called him to faith through his word. And in the same way, you were without faith until God gave you new life through his word. Last Sunday, we heard this passage from James chapter 1. God chose to give us birth through the word of truth. Here, James is teaching that salvation is God's work alone, and that true faith is given to us when the Holy Spirit works through God's word to convict us of sin, to give us faith in Jesus alone for salvation, and then later to move us to obey the will of God. My friends, God's Word brings us that new birth in various ways. God's Word gives us new birth in the waters of holy baptism. God's Word also gives us new birth whenever we hear or read Holy Scripture, or whenever we listen to preaching or teaching based on a proper teaching of Holy Scripture. And God's Word also gives us new birth when we hear Christ inviting us with his words to receive his body and blood in Holy Communion. My friends, God has given you a true living faith. And this faith he has given you is a faith that works. In other words, to have true faith means that you are aware of your sin on a daily basis and you confess it to God. To have true faith means that you trust in Jesus alone for salvation. And to have true faith means that you strive to live according to God's will. That doesn't mean you live a perfect life. None of us do. But it means that the Holy Spirit will move you to struggle against the desires of your sinful nature, and he will give you a desire to do the good things that God wants us to do. And one of the things that James mentions is compassion for the poor and needy within our own midst as a family in Christ. In closing, we've learned that James agrees with Paul because both James and Paul were inspired to preach and write God's Word. James agrees with Paul when Paul says that our good works do not have anything to do with our justification before God, but that we are saved by Christ alone. In other words, our good works don't earn God's salvation. On the other hand, Paul also agrees with James when James says that faith works. In other words, when Jesus gives you new birth through His Word of truth, He will change your life. He will move you to confess your sins. He will move you to trust in Him alone for salvation. And He will move you to have a desire to live according to His will. My friends, you have heard God's Word of truth today. And Jesus has given you new birth as God's children. Because of Jesus, you are forgiven and justified before God right now. God has given you a living faith, and this faith works. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.